Hey, this is Jock Niem, and I'm here with Stephanie on the Dope Science Show. I hope you enjoy it as much as I am.
Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Steph with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Warning, explicit adult content. Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show, episode 15. In this episode, I talked to my friend Greg Fennell, a writer and actor from LA, about the recent film, awesome film, Get Out by Jordan Peele. We pretty much geek out about the movie and we share our thoughts on what we thought about it and we analyze it a bit. And we meander into talks about cults and shamans and hallucinatory drugs. I'm not sure how you say that. And we talk about the science of hypnosis. It's a really interesting, fun episode, and I hope you guys are relaxed and you're chilling and you enjoy the show. So let's get started.
Guys, welcome to the Dope Science Show. This is Stephanie, aka Science Steph with Steph, and I am sharing an awesome conversation with my friend Gregory Fennell. He is a producer, actor, and creator of a web series called the I Commit series. You've probably seen him over the years as a character actor in various films as well. You'll see when I post his face. It's recognizable. I thought so. I was like, hey, I know that guy. But hey, how's it going, Greg?
How are you? Good to hear your voice. Sounds good.
Good, good. We connected. We were already friends on Instagram. I think I might have followed you just because I'm into web series and I saw that you're a creator. The I Commit series, what is that about a little bit? Is it on YouTube? Where can people check that out?
Yeah, I Commit series is a series kind of that I developed a couple years ago in a UCLA writing extension class. And I had these characters in my head that were based on people, real people that were in Los Angeles. I knew.
Huh.
They were three couples, straight couple, a guy and a girl. Like, a guy was a thief, and he was kind of couldn't commit to his girlfriend. And then there was his arch nemesis, who was a lesbian biker, and they used to steal stuff together. They used to steal stuff together. And then a crooked movie mogul, who was this gay movie mogul studio executive. Really trippy, crazy story.
That's awesome. I saw the, it looked really interesting as far as the behind the scenes view of what you guys were doing. Is it something anyone can check out online if they want to?
Yeah, you know what? We're deciding on where to go with it because it's like if Pulp Fiction was a web series, but it's pretty raunchy. So I'm not sure if we're going to put it online. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to go to Amazon or Hulu or something like that.
Oh, I see. You know, it's funny that you were using real life characters to draw the story together. I write too, and I find that it's just easier to people watch and just tweak real life observations and then create a narrative around that. And we all know crazy people. Definitely.
Right.
I'm like, but you just change the names, right? Do you ever invite the people, like, hey, come check out this film? See if they, like, recognize themselves?
Yeah, and they're never interested. It's a good thing. I wanted to come check it out. She wasn't, like, she wanted to watch football.
Exactly. Isn't that how it is? Like, people who know you really don't check out your projects, so you can write anything you want about them.
Right.
You'll never watch it. Right? I'm like, you'll never watch it. But, so that's how we met. And then you were sharing, like, memes and pictures about the film Get Out, like, before it came out. And you're like, have you seen it? That's, like, one of the hottest films of the year that everyone's like, have you seen it? Or at least in my circle of friends. So after a couple of weeks, I finally saw it.
Finally. I was like,
finally.
You have to see it.
And usually I don't go to see films, but I had to see this one because I was like, it was just one of those films where you don't want to be left out. You know, it was good. Like, I just saw the reviews and just the storyline behind it, but I didn't watch any previews or trailers because if I'm really into something, I want it all to be like brand new, you know? So when I finally saw the film, it was like brand new and I was so excited. Well, what did you think about the film? Like, what was your takeaway as far as...
Stephanie, I'm not even talking to friends of mine who haven't seen the film. If you haven't seen the film, I'm not even talking to you.
You know what? It's funny you said that. It's so funny you said that. That's what my sister said yesterday because we saw Logan. And Logan was good, but I've never seen an X-Men film. So I was like, I think this is one of the best X-Men films ever made. And she was like, don't tell anyone that. That will make you look dumb. I was like, okay. She was like, that'd be like you saying, like, you didn't like Get Out. Like, I would stop listening to your show if you told me you didn't like that film. I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. It was that good, you know?
You already saw Logan, but it took you weeks to go see Get Out. Uh-oh.
Well, I know. You know what it was? I'm cheap, right? So I was trying to go on Tuesdays when it's $7 to see the film. And I kept missing the Tuesday. And then I was in L.A. and I was like, we should go see the film. And then I was sick and I was like, we should just stay and watch Netflix instead. And it just turned into... But it was you. It was you who made me do it. I'll never forget. So I'll always remember you when I talk about this film. I'm like, my friend Greg just made me. Like, I've never had anyone, like, push me. Hey, have you seen this film? I got to the point where I didn't even want to say anything on Instagram until I told you I saw the film. So
it's really just a great film. It's a masterpiece. It's very, like, I think it's up there with Hitchcock. I really think it's, like, that level. Psychology. you could call it a thriller, you can call it a comedy. You know, it's not really a horror film to me. Like, I try not to have any kind of preconceived notions about it. I thought maybe it was going to be a slasher flick in the vein of, you know, Guess What I Did Last Summer kind of thing, or, you know what I mean? I thought it was going to be like a slasher flick, and I was going to be disappointed. And then it was totally not like I thought it was. It was like Hitchcock. I was like, wow.
I was so impressed because I've seen, Peele's, is that how you say his name? Peele or Pale? Peele?
Oh, Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele. I've seen his work before. He's made like these little comedy horror flicks, kind of like Scream, his version, and his, I forget the name of them, but the first one he did, it was like super slapstick, you know, super corny, and that's just not my thing. Like, I tried, but I was like, eh. Then he came out with another one, again, I don't know the name of it, that was actually freaking funny, and I was like, okay. And then he came out with this, and I had heard that it was scary, and I was like, be different. And then when I sat down, I mean, from the very first scene, like, it was, from the very first scene, it just caught my attention. Like, I knew it was going to be different, you know, and there's spoilers, so anyone listening, spoiler, I'm spoiling throughout this episode because it's been like 3 or 4 weeks. You should have seen the film already.
Yeah,
but in the very beginning, where they open, well, the music was dope, right? And then in the very beginning, they open and you see this guy, and he's just, like, talking on the phone. He looks like your average, like, you know, everyday young black guy that I would see. He reminded me of my brother. And he's, like, talking to his girlfriend, and he's like, I'm lost, you know. And wait, this guy...
Wait, back up for a second. The song is "Is Redbone" by Childish Gambino, which is like, whoa, stay woke. Like, he talks about, yeah. I've seen him online, I've seen Jordan online talk about how he showed that clip to Childish and wanted to use that song in the, and he says, oh yeah, it fits, go ahead and use it. So that song Redbone is just like, wow, use that song in there.
And it's, I know, it's that was the whole, go ahead.
It's just like, stay woke.
Yep. And I loved it. From the very beginning, I felt like I was watching a black film that was made by a black filmmaker. Like, everything just felt, like, real. I felt like my people made this. And the song, you know, Stay Woke, it was right, you know, this is where we have been in our mindset. And now it's trendy. People talk about, are you woke or you're not? But it has a real meaning. And that was the same thread that was, like, throughout the film. So, like, in the beginning where he's, like, I don't know if it's the first scene, but it's that part where the guy is, like, walking with his hoodie on, and he's getting stalked by this car, you know? And right. he's talking, he's like, is he following me? You know, and it's, like, that feeling. I don't know if you've ever been in an all-white neighborhood and you're just like residential and you're the only black person. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation.
Oh, sure. You feel like you're...
and it was just... Go ahead.
Definitely been in that situation before. And it's on the East Coast as well, you know, especially like in Maryland and Virginia, where I grew up, Washington, D.C., mostly in, like, you know, Virginia, where you can go to a rural area and you can see a Klan rally going on.
Exactly. And we have to know that. Like, non-white people don't necessarily know this, but black people are always hyper-aware. Like, it's not like you have to be aware. You can't just be walking around and not know the vibes. And so he's like, this guy's following me. And at first he's like, no, he's not. And he's like, fuck that, this guy's following me. He's like, not today. He's like, fuck that, I'm going home. You know, and it just reminded me of my brother just being like, nah, I'm not gonna, you know, we don't play. Like, that's what I felt like when I was watching. There were so many moments where it was like a black moment where, you know, normally you'd be yelling at the screen like, go home, what the hell, you know. And it was just cool because he wrote it just like that. He was like, the character's like, oh, I'm going to leave, right? And he gets choked out, right? And taken. Right. And it was sad, too, because it reminded me of, like, Trayvon Martin, you know, he's just walking in a neighborhood with his hoodie and, right. you know, gets taken out by this random, you know, white person. And that was like the thread throughout the film. And it was funny. There were so many funny parts, but there were so many like scary parts. And I watched it in the theater with like all kinds of people. And I felt almost uncomfortable. Like I didn't want, it was almost weird to like have black secrets out there, you know, like the way we talk. Like, you know, when he was talking, his friend, what was his friend's name, who worked at the airport? I forget his name, but he was always, like, warning him, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He was kind of the realist of the, of you know, what everyone's thinking and not really saying and the
exactly.
What's going
exactly.
on?
Exactly. He was saying it out loud. I was like, whoa.
There's a lot of metaphors going on. I mean, even with the silver spoon, with her doing the hypnosis with the silver spoon, a lot of metaphors of white privilege there. And it was just a masterpiece. It really was just, you know, you go back, you have to see it twice. You see it the first time and you catch things. And then when you see it again, you really catch, oh, yeah, the silver spoon. He just didn't use silver spoons just to be using silver spoons. He's trying to make a point about white privilege there. And
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, with the hypnosis, you know, the black guys are being kind of under the spell of, you know, the Kardashians and the white women and Kanye. I mean, he's just totally, like, it's a masterpiece, man. It's just like, really, like, you know, he's saying a lot. There's a reason why it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, you know.
Exactly. It's got 99% now because someone's an asshole. But but you know, it was. I could see what you mean about Alfred Hitchcock because a lot of it was the framing, the cinematography, the obsession with eyes and cameras. You know, even from the very beginning when they hit that deer and he's just like lost in the deer's eyes for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And the actors were so good. A lot of the acting was all in their facial expressions, like really
great.
Close, you know, shots. I'm like, wow,
oh, yeah.
you know?
Yeah, great performances, some really good performances. And, you know, not necessarily by stars or anything. I really love Katherine Keener, the mom. I mean, she's just
yes.
fantastic. She just was really.
She was.
Really...
And know what was interesting about her? She was so powerful in the film, so persuasive and seductive at the same time.
Uh huh.
Without like coming on to anyone, she was just like. I mean, it fits with her being a hypnosis or hip. I don't know how you say it. Someone who hypnotizes people,
right?
But she was so persuasive and calm, you know. And with the tea, oh, the sunken place. Oh my gosh, I would never have even thought of anything like that. That was so scary. Now
I mean,
you're
bingo,
in
the
sunken place.
The bingo, rooting for the, you know. The bingo game where the blind guy was looking for his eyes because he was a photographer. He wanted his eyes. It's a masterpiece.
Yes.
It's a masterpiece.
Know, and it, oh my gosh. And just like all the inside things. At first I was like, well, how will white people feel about this? Like when I went to my job, I was like, oh, I saw Get Out. And why did everyone in the room say, what? Like they never heard of it. And I'm like, and then they're like, so what's it about? And I'm like, it's like a horror film, satire, black comedy about race relations, but it's great. I'm like, it was great. And good thing we didn't, I mean, I don't know if it was, how did they market it really? They hit 100 million. And so Jordan Peele is the first black director writer to make $100 million with his debut film. I'm like, yay, that's such a huge deal. And for people to not have seen it, I'm like, where have you been? Like, are only black people and brown people going to see this film?
It definitely came out during Black History Month.
That helped.
It came in February, so... Yeah, I think people are seeing it more than once, and I think it's getting a good buzz and a good word. I mean, everyone online seems to really like it and enjoy it. And I think the thing that it, you don't have to be black to particularly understand it or get it or, you know, oh, I get it. Like, a lot of people can relate to going to someone's, their partner's parent's house. You know what I mean? We can all relate to that, whatever color you are. So on that note, it's kind of universal. Like, everyone can relate to that event and how crazy that can be, you know, whether you're white, black, or whatever, whether you're Jewish, Italian, whatever. So you can relate to it on that level. I mean, like, I sat with a full theater. I saw it like a couple weeks before it came out. The Universal was doing some screenings at a couple places, and one was like over there by John Howard Hughes, the theater over there is off the 405 freeway. They were showing it there. I caught it a couple weeks before through a packed house, and it was pretty diverse. I mean, the white guys that were, two white guys that were sitting next to me were Italian guys. They were loving it. They were getting everything and loving it. And they were just like, yeah, I would be your friend that would come and get you off of some shit like that. You know, they were really into it.
Yeah. And everyone was. People clapped, super yelling. In fact, when I saw Logan last night, all I could talk about was Get Out. I was like, it sure wasn't Get Out, though. But I'm like, but you really can't compare like a masterpiece to like just like an average good movie. But yeah, people loved it. Really, they did. But I still felt like it was a black. It wasn't just a black film. It was great to see a film from a black person's perspective, especially a black man. You never see that, really. And him being just like a chill black guy, you know, he's the kind of black guy who's like in a relationship with a white preppy girl. You know, he's going to go to her house. He's feeling a little bit nervous. But like you said, everyone knows that feeling. But then it goes another level because only minorities... Whenever you're in a minority in a situation, it's a certain feeling to be the only one. And I felt that when he walked in, you know, and everyone, all their attention was directed at him. And they're like, oh, yeah, I voted for Obama. Like, I would have voted for him forever. Just saying things that were not necessary in order to try to relate and not realizing that they're being racist by doing that. You know, like his dad, like, aggressive... you know, his aggressive comments that he thought were complimentary, you know, he was like pushing his love for black people on him and pushing his ideas, you know, trying to engage him in conversations that he thought would be black, you know. I felt that before. And that feeling of, oh, I see a black person, and you're like, I gotta at least acknowledge them or say hi or talk to them. You know, and he does that, and then the black people are fucking crazy or scary. They're all weird. They are, you know, and
They're not themselves. They're in the sunken place, and they get snapped out of it by a picture. I mean, it was just so smart the way he got Chris out of it.
It reminded me of Ben Carson. I was like, what?
Chris had to pick cotton to get free, literally.
Yes.
He had to pick cotton.
Wow.
When you see the film, you'll know what, you know, what we're talking about, how he had to literally pick cotton to get free. I mean, the Armitage family, it went back to Jesse Owens and running track. I mean, it went full...
I know. He was like, oh, he's getting over it because his dad was bitter because he lost to Jesse Owens. I was like, okay. And then that scene where he's running like some fucking maniac in the dark.
Right.
Because he has that body now. He has that strong black man's body that's so vibrant. You know, like, there was an obsession with their bodies. It was definitely, like, fetishized. And you know why at the end, you know? You're like, oh, that's why, you know?
Right. You totally, that's why I say when you see it twice, you really catch a lot of things, you know. I mean, the whole Jesse Owens thing and the Armitage family and the, you know, the things that they dealt with. It's just amazing how he just, this guy, Jordan Peele, is going to do well.
Yeah, I felt like he was writing from his own personal experiences as well, you know, saying.
And mind you, anyone out there that's thinking like he's just ragging on white people, you know, Jordan's mom's white, his wife is white, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
He's coming from a biracial background, a mixed place, you know, he was raised by a white woman. So I grew up with kids that were like that were raised, you know, with racial mixed background. And, you know, he's just really coming with his A game with this. And I can't imagine what's coming next with him, you know.
I'm excited about that. He said he has a series of them lined up, so. I would definitely see it again. And it's if you listen to there's a podcast, my favorite podcast of all time, and it's called Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time.
I've seen it.
Yeah, so that's my favorite podcast, and it's W. Kamau Bell and Kevin Avery are the host, and they always say, oh, make sure you get your black people homework. And I think this would be one of them. Like, black people homework are things you must have seen if you're black, so that you could talk to other black people about it. So, like, that's what this film is. Everyone should see it. I highly recommend it. And I can talk on and on about it. It's so great. I did want to say that one of the things that stuck out to me beyond the social, political, the scary, and the music, and how beautiful it was the hypnosis part. So I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Have you ever been hypnotized before, or have you ever met anyone who has been?
You know what? I have a, you know, when you're out here in L.A., you do run across those sites. I've had a few people, one particular girl that asked to hypnotize me to the same thing that Chris was being hypnotized for in the movie, which was smoking.
And cigarettes, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, I never let her hypnotize me, but that's a lot of that's going on out here. In LA, So, no, I've never been hypnotized, but I've definitely seen, you know, people get hypnotized and stop smoking. Definitely. I've seen it happen.
Exactly. It is really effective if you are someone who can be hypnotized. Did you choose not to because you're like scared of people messing with your head?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to trust it. And especially after seeing this film, it really is. I mean, again, that's a black thing. Black people are like, nah, you're not going to mess with my head. I don't know what you're going to put in it.
They'll smoke weed before they let you get in their head.
Hell yeah. That's different. Oh, that's different. I don't think I would ever let anyone hypnotize me. I guess only about 10% of the population is highly hypnotizable, while everyone else can get into a little trance-like, they can get in a trance-like state, but only a small portion of us can be really hypnotized, like in the film. So I guess Chris, the character in Get Out, was one of the lucky few. But there's good things and bad things, you know, like you can definitely stop smoking. I was reading that people are having awake surgery for like brain cancer, where they just hypnotize them and then they're opening up their skulls and doing what they have to do without any pain medication.
Wow.
Exactly. I'm like, there's so many things you can do with hypnosis, but it also made me think of, do you remember the film Inception?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see that?
I did, yeah.
So, I'm going in circles, but with in Inception and in this film, there's memories and hallucinations, and they can create or they can implant false memories inside of your in your mind through hypnosis as well, and I felt like we were seeing that, you know, with the sunken place, you know.
Also the film Memento is a bit like that as well. I don't know if you ever saw that film.
What film is it?
Memento.
Oh, Memento. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. You got to be careful with who you let. It's a trust issue thing. You definitely got to be careful who you let. Also, the same thing with shamans, too. It's like, I'm real careful about what kind of shamans I'm around.
There's
a lot of shamans.
That's how curses work, right?
There are a lot of shamans out here, and there are a lot of cult leaders. There's a lot going on. You got to watch what you're doing.
I've never met a shaman before. I'd be open to it. I would want to ask some questions. I can't be afraid of everything, but I definitely wouldn't want to be hypnotized. I have control issues. So
right.
When I say issues, I mean I like things to, you know, go a certain way. So I feel comfortable. It sounds bad. I don't think it's bad to want to have control over things that matter to you. But
right.
Yeah, being hypnotized is definitely something that I'm like, I don't know. But I highly recommend. Go ahead.
How do you feel about drinking like ayahuasca, hallucinogens, and stuff like that?
Yeah, good question. I've never done anything like that. I have a lot of friends who do drugs and things like that. Not always currently, but just growing up, you know. And they would experiment with LSD, mushrooms, and like that, and then tell me about it. But I'd always be so afraid. I don't know about that. I'm not against it. I'm just not sure. I get nervous when I think of, like, what is it? Hallucinogenics and things like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I've known people that have taken, like, they drink the ayahuasca before, like, a test to get them focused. Like, you know, I've heard of this and know people that have done it personally, but I would never, you know, think to do something like that for anything. I would feel like it would take me out of my game if I were to take, like, ayahuasca or drink. Because you violently get sick and vomit, and, you know, like, you purge.
What? I know nothing about this.
Yeah, ayahuasca is no joke. I've seen it on National Geographic where people go in the jungles of the Amazon jungles and they take ayahuasca and purge and come back never the same. And, you know, I'm also interested, very interested in, like, cult leaders and, like, documentaries on cults too. So it's a trippy thing. So.
It is, and it's scary. It's interesting. Because you're like, wow, it's like a subculture. Like, there's this place where I live where there's actually a few cults, but this one in particular, they're out in the community. They have a restaurant called the Yellow Deli, and it's beautiful. And it looks like when you walk in, everything's like hand-carved wood. It took them 10 years to build this place. It's beautiful. Like, you walk in and you feel like you're in an old English pub back in, like, the 17th century or something. And so, of course, I was really drawn to that. And when I first got there, they were like, I live in a small town, or I used to, in Vista. And so we would have, like, the main street, like, Christmas parade, that kind of old school type of thing. And they had a big hippie bus. And they went through the bus and they're like, come to the restaurant, you know, and they're waving us and telling us to come. We've got free apple cider and cookies and popcorn. So it was like, me and my friends, I was like, let's go. And my friends were like, I don't know about that. So they're like, Stephanie, why do you want to follow the hippie bus? Because it seemed so interesting. And so I went and I was like blown away by how beautiful it was inside. And I was also intrigued that they were a cult. I was like, I've never met a cult before. And so every time I would go on dates, they'd be like, where do you want to go? I'd always take them to this cult place. And just to tell them it was a cult, and when the servers there are not allowed to, like, talk to you except to serve food, and they can't take tips, and they're only allowed to work there and go back to the cult.
Oh my god,
it's like a real thing. And just found it very interesting. And then on Wednesday nights they have, like, open conversation. It's when they, like, recruit people to join the cult if you want to.
Oh my god.
But I've never visited their compound. I'm like, I'll stay in town and take dates to the restaurant, just so they know I'm weird. And but yeah, I find cults to be pretty interesting on the outside, you know, like, I don't want to be in a cult.
Right. You know? there's one called Landmark, a buddy of mine. He said that this beautiful girl, they took this girl.
Did you say Landmark?
Landmark, yeah.
I know Landmark. I know people in Landmark. I didn't know it was a cult.
Big time. Big time.
Okay, well, off the record, this is just conversation. We're not going to have, like, any lawsuits against us for calling them a cult.
They come after you like Scientologists. It's hysterical.
I know a lot of Landmark people, and they always invite me, and I just have not made time to go. Like, there's one in San Diego, and there's one in L.A. I've only heard good things. Like, everybody comes back, like, major breakthroughs, you know.
Yeah. Major breakthroughs through your bank account.
Yes, that's for sure. It's very expensive. But no, I did not know it was a cult. Now I'm gonna have to go visit now. I'm gonna have to actually go to one of the meetings.
Well, a buddy of mine said that they kind of took this girl, and he liked this girl, and they kind of sick the girl on him and siphoned about $6,000 from him. Before he knew it, he spent like $6,000 on the landmark stuff. I was like, they sent that girl for you.
Well, you know what? The landmarks are very attractive. I will say that. A lot of LA people are in it.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're very attractive.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a part of the lore.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, definitely. But I wonder, but they don't give them any hallucinogenic teas. I'm like, I want to talk. You know, I wanted to go back to that because that's interesting to me. Like, the whole control thing. And I have experimented with drugs before, not hallucinogenics. And the whole, I don't like to feel that out of control. I'm like, it's just a kind of scary thing to like experiment with your brain like that, you know, and just throw in chemicals and just wing it. It's a very nerve-wracking kind of thing to me. But people do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of anxiety with that, and you know. But at the same time, when you're on a trip or something, you go on a cruise or, you know, you're hanging with your buds and, you know, you're at a wedding. People do things like that. They say, fuck it. You know, I want to do it. I want to try it.
So, oh, yeah. I don't judge.
I've been to Amsterdam in the 90s and seen people, like, go over there and live and, like, stay in Amsterdam because of that culture that was there. Like, dude, I just came over here for a couple of days, and you're over here for life. I've met a couple of guys that just totally left L.A. and went to Amsterdam because they offer that over there.
Because they're free. They must have no responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, you have no responsibilities. I would probably do that if I didn't have a child. But my child grounds me. So I always say, I'm so grateful you're here. Otherwise, I don't know what I'd be doing. Not necessarily bad, but I'm just a very, like, nomadic type of person. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. I am, too. I'm definitely a citizen of the world. I consider myself a citizen of the world, of the globe. You know what I mean? So I kind of nomadic and roam around and go to Portugal, go to different areas. And I always venture out and I always go to the ghettoest part of the, whether I'm in Aruba, I've been on cruises to Aruba, to Puerto Rico, and I always just go to the most ghetto part of the place.
Me
and
too.
Walk around.
I do that too, because that's where the good stuff is. I'm like, I want to know where the cool people hang out, and it's not at the tourist location.
Right.
You know, I'm the same way. But I'm like kind of naive. I'm a bad traveler. Cause I'll go to the bad places, but I don't think about it. Like, I treat it as if it's just like my neighborhood or something.
Right.
And so I'm not a good traveler. I travel a lot by myself, but I recommend people bring a friend or something. Well, because, yeah, if you like to go to the worst places. Well, it's not like you think about them being the worst. You just want to be off the tourist track, you know?
Right, right. You just want to kind of deal with the locals and get to know people and, you know, spend a couple of days and hang out, you know?
Exactly. Very cool. I did look. I looked up your friend, Dr. Mayday. Is that his name?
Oh, great.
On Instagram.
Yeah,
super cool science guy. I was like, oh, we should do like a duo. I haven't hit him up yet, but I'm going to. I just followed him.
Definitely hit him up. He's a cool guy. Very cool.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Well. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about or let people know where they can find you.
Go see Get Out. That's it.
Right? That was the whole point of this, you guys. Go see Get Out and tell me what you think. And then you can be part of the geek world and we can talk about Get Out and you're caught up with everything. What was I going to say? With every episode, I have my guests pick three songs that will be the soundtrack of the episode. So you have to do that right now. Tell me the three songs you'd want to be featured on the show.
Three songs. Something by Portishead?
You have to tell me a song. Or the chorus, see. And I can Google it or something.
Let me see. Definitely. Give me a second here.
Definitely, yeah, no worries.
Definitely Portishead. Let's go for Sour Times.
Remember the title. Sing the chorus and I'll Google it. You're like, you know that one song that goes like, you know how it goes.
There's a girl, her song, her name is Ari Lennox. She's amazing. There's a song called Goat.
Goat?
Ari Lennox. Yeah, song called Goat. G-O-A-T.
Okay.
She's a new artist. I found her on Black and Sexy TV. She's amazing. Young girl.
Ooh.
She's incredible.
I love them.
So, in fact, they just interviewed Jordan Peele as well.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out.
Massive Attack, Protection.
Oh, this is going to be cool. I'm liking the vibes. Okay. And then the next thing is you will be the intro for the next show. So you will say your name and whatever tagline you want to say. Like, my name's Greg, and I'm blah, 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 and you're on the Dope Science Show.
It's a Dope Science Show?
Yeah, the Dope Science Show, and you can say, and you should check it out, or this is awesome, or something.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, go.
This is Greg Fennell, and you're listening to the Dope Science Show.
Perfect.
Locked it.
Oh, I messed it up. Try it again.
Ready?
Yes.
This is Greg Fennell, and you're listening to the Dope Science Show. Keep it locked in.
That sounds really cool. Thank you so much. Cool, cool. And yeah, I appreciate you. And next time I'm in LA, maybe we can hang out.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. And we'll get Mayday too, in on it.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, cool. Very, very cool.
All right.
Well, I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I appreciate your time.
You too. I had a good time.
Thanks. Yay. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Have you guys seen Get Out? I hope you have, since we spoiled so much of it. Let me know what you thought. Have you ever been hypnotized before? I am starting to think I may be one of the susceptible ones. I didn't think so until I read this article that talked about the parts of the brain that are affected by hypnosis. So I wanted to share that with you guys because I always want to squeeze in some science, right? So this article, as usual, is from sciencedaily.com. Because it's free, is a good resource, and I like it. So this is an article that's dated July 28th, 2016. The source is Stanford University Medical Center. Summary, by scanning the brains of subjects while they were hypnotized, researchers were able to see the neural changes associated with hypnosis. So to start off, the researchers had to study hypnosis itself. Researchers had to find people who could or couldn't be hypnotized. Only about 10% of the population is generally categorized as highly hypnotizable, while others are less able to enter the trance-like state of hypnosis. The researchers screened 545 healthy participants and found 36 people who consistently scored high on tests of hypnositability. I cannot speak, as you guys know, so check out the article on the link, as well as 21 control subjects who scored on the extreme low end of the scales. Then they observed the brains of those 57 participants using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or MRIs, which measures brain activity by detecting changes in blood flow. Each person was scanned under four different conditions while sitting, while recalling a memory, and during two different hypnosis sessions. It was important to have the people who aren't able to be hypnotized as controls. Otherwise, you might not be able to see things happening in the brain of those who are being hypnotized, because you wouldn't know what to associate hypnosis with. Okay? So what they discovered were three hallmarks of the brain under hypnosis. Each change was seen only in a highly hypnotizable group and only while they were undergoing hypnosis. First, they saw a decrease in activity in an area called the dorsal anterior cingulate, part of the brain's salience network. In hypnosis, you're so absorbed that you're not worried about anything else, they found. Secondly, they saw an increase in connections between other areas of the brain, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and the insula. They describe this as a brain-body connection that helps the brain process and control what's going on in the body. Finally, they also observed reduced connections between the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and the default mode network, which includes the medial prefrontal and the posterior cingulate cortex. This decrease in functional connectivity likely represents a disconnect between someone's actions and their awareness of their actions. When you're really engaged in something, you don't really think about doing it, you just do it, he said. During hypnosis, this kind of disassociation between action and reflection allows the person to engage in activities either suggested by a clinician or self-suggested without devoting mental resources to being self-conscious about this activity. They can use this new knowledge in order to treat pain and anxiety without pills. In patients who can be easily hypnotized, hypnosis sessions have been shown to be effective in lessening chronic pain, the pain of childbirth, and other medical procedures, treating smoke addiction and post-traumatic stress disorder, and easing anxiety or phobias. The new findings about hypnosis affects how it affects the brain might pave the way toward developing treatments for the rest of us, those of us who aren't naturally susceptible to hypnosis. So they believe that they'll be able to manipulate these parts of the brain in order to create a hypnotic state. So what that makes me think, and what makes me think that I'm highly susceptible to hypnosis, though I would not want anyone to take advantage of me, please, is I always say I'm in a blur. I have a job that requires me to multitask all the time. I'm on my phone all the time. I'm hardly present in the moment. It's something I'm aware of. And being on auto makes you more susceptible to being hypnotized. I wonder how many of us are walking around in this state of zombiness where you're doing things, but you're not fully present. So, what do you guys think? Are you open to being hypnotized? Would you be open to being hypnotized if it would alleviate symptoms of anxiety or phobia, or as an alternative to pain medications? Let me know your thoughts. I love you guys. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoy your week. Peace.